This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to episode number 356 of the Action Movie Guys Podcast. I am your host, Nate, and this is my co-host,
Alex Figueroa.
And we are joined by a very special guest. This is his fourth episode joining us. Rob, say hello to everybody and let them know where they could find you on Instagram.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for having me again. And you can find me on Instagram at BigKnock007 on Instagram.
There you go. He's there. And if you, give him a follow, he loves movies. He's one of our Patreon members, so we're always glad to have him come and talk movies with us. And he loves action movies. And this week, we're going to be doing a new month. Alex, it's a brand new day. We're done with our boy, as Scott calls him, Tuna Mel. Mel Gibson. No more Mel Gibson. We're going with another guy. Now, I'll be honest, this month, I have only seen one out of the four movies we're watching. So, and the one I saw was the one we're going to be doing today from 1992, A Little Under Siege. Now, you know, I always like to ask before we get into numbers or the review. Number one, I know everyone's heard of this movie, so I'm not going to ask if you've heard of this, but have you ever seen it? And if so, when was the last time you watched it, Alex?
I watched this movie. I mean, I own both of them on Blu-ray, Under Siege 1 and 2, Dark Territory. I have those. I didn't see this in a long time. Like, me and my wife sat down, we watched this one. And the last time we seen this, we did like a back-to-back. Like, I normally put them back-to-back because it's like, once you see one, you're like, let's keep going, baby. Yeah. So you put on the second one. And I'm going to be honest with you, Nate. I'm a little fan of the sequel from what I remember. But I know we're not tackling...
Not yet.
Part two. I remember, I always put them back-to-back because I enjoyed them as a pair. Oh, yeah. So, but yeah, I seen this, I could say 10 years ago. I could say that, maybe. Okay.
Yeah,
so
we might be doing it, add it to the, when we do the month of sequels that we never did month, maybe throw a little Under Siege 2 Dark Territory in there. Okay, Robert, what's your experience with this film? Did you see it in the theater? When's the last time you watched it?
Oh, yeah, I seen it in the theater and I own it on Blu-ray for a while now. So I haven't seen it in a while, but when I did first, I saw it in the theater when it came out on Blu-ray after years later. I put it on for a few more times. Yeah, so I've seen it quite a few times already.
All right. This is my third time ever watching this movie. I'll tell you a really quick story. I saw this when I was maybe 7. My grandma let me watch it, and all I remember was boobies from this movie. I'm not gonna lie. I said, this girl jumps out the cake. I'm 7, and I like this. Now, I watched it when I was older. When I bought it on Blu-ray, I was in my 20s. And at that point, I watched it as an actual movie fan. And so, okay, good action movie. It's more than just boobies. And then I watched it for this review. So that's kind of my experience with it. I watched it when I was not allowed to. My grandma, she didn't care. She said, rated R, I don't care. You can watch whatever you want. I don't care if you're 7.
Wow.
Really quick, cool. I want to say, director of this movie, and might be a low-key action movie guy here, Andrew Davis, the most basic name, and I know him, I know a few of the movies he's done, but looking at his filmography, Alex, listen to this. I don't know if you're familiar with Andrew Davis. He does action movies because he directed Code of Silence, which is a Chuck Norris movie, Above the Law, which is another Seagal movie we're going to be doing, okay? The Package with Gene Hackman, Under Siege, The Fugitive, the Harrison Ford one, Chain Reaction with Keanu Reeves, Collateral Damage with our boy Arnold. Those are all like very big action movies. Okay. He did a couple other ones, but those are like the ones that are like, we got to have to do. We got some of those on the schedule already.
Andrew Davis month.
He's just, I wanted to bring that up because I feel like he gets no love in like a director's, and maybe, you know, some of these movies aren't amazing. Let's get into this review now. Before we do, I gotta give you some Rotten Tomato scores. And this is very interesting to me. Okay. I was surprised when I saw these numbers because I thought they'd be opposite. I thought, what the critics gave would be what the audience did and vice versa. Let's start on the audience score. The audience score is a 62%. Okay. Wow. So it is fresh, just barely, but a 62%. But the critic score for this movie is an 80%. 80. So critics thought this movie was awesome. This is a great action movie. And I thought those would be reversed personally. Yeah. What do you think about these scores, Rob?
Critic scores. That's really high for, you know, I was surprised. You would think it'd be the other way around too. I agree.
Yeah. Alex?
Someone must have hacked into Rotten Tomatoes. Someone must have hacked in, bro. This is the, this gotta be the first movie in 2 years that we've been together that the critic score is 80% on an action movie.
Crazy.
Like, on a movie like this, and I'm not talking about like a big blockbuster movie and like that's Lord supposed to be.
Yeah,
I'm talking about a low budget Steven Seagal movie. The critics went, oh, this is an 80.
Well, like, it's not even close. It is his highest rated movie. So this is, and it's not surprising now that we've rewatched it, all of us. Yeah, I know why too. So we're gonna talk about it.
I think the critics saw the girl come out the pink.
I was gonna say it was the boobs.
It was her boobs.
It's only like 6 seconds, but it was enough.
They were like, "Wow, this is a great movie."
They said, "Erica Eleniak, we like you." 80%. 4 out of 5 of us love this movie. All the men gave it 5 out of 5. And all the women gave it 2.
Oh my God.
This is objectifying. Okay, let's get into the review now. We're going to start off with our lead character. And unlike the last movie, this time we got a lead character. This is our boy Casey Ryback, played by Steven Seagal. I cannot wait to hear what you guys think of this movie, and I can't wait to talk about it myself. Rob, we're going to start with you. What did you think of Steven Seagal as Casey Ryback?
Out of all, you know, the Steven Seagal catalog, you know, the characters of usually a cop, retired cop, or you know, one of those things. I loved him here as a cook / Navy SEAL. So I gave him a 5. This guy is good with guns, martial arts, knife throwing. He could cook some pie, some bouillon soup, and all that.
I'm not laughing at your score. I'm laughing at your description of cook / Navy SEAL. Cook / Navy SEAL. As Navy SEAL goes second.
Yeah.
Okay, so 5 out of 5. All right. Very good. Alex, what did you think?
Oh, man, I'm with Rob in this one. I gave him a 5.
Whoa,
okay. I'll say this, and I'm all jokes aside, he didn't do much of the hand-to-hand in this movie, which I thought it was good, because once we get to the other movies, he's doing all the, smacking dudes, and he's doing all this. So I was like, you know what? I like that. I like the fact that he was a quiet character. He didn't talk as much, only when he needed to talk. I like that also. He was very loyal. He was best friends with the captain. That's why the captain took him on board, because he punched someone else as a Navy SEAL. Yeah. He's like really against the law, like whatever, like his own personal thing. So like for me, I like the character, and I like that name, Casey Ryback. Now that's an action movie name.
Yeah.
Like you got John Matrix. That's a dope name. You got Casey Ryback, John McClane. Like, those are dope names. John Wick. Like, those are great action names. But no, honestly, I thought his acting was actually pretty. It's certain parts that he was, like, a little off. I was just like, he's really bad. But out of all the stuff, I said, you know what? I kind of liked him as the chef. I thought it was pretty cool. So I gave him a 5.
Okay. I agree with the name. Also, I love there's a part where they're like in the kitchen and the guy's like sitting on the floor and you can see all the name of the food items that they sell in this little kitchen. And one of them is like pasta Ryback or something like that. Like, what the heck? Okay. I'm going to be honest with you guys. The acting, Steven Seagal is not known for his acting. Okay.
No.
And I don't think the performance is fine. He's like good enough. I think he is fine in this movie. I don't think he's great. He's not like giving a, he's not like John McClane, for example. Like he doesn't have that charisma of Bruce Willis,
right?
But he also doesn't embarrass himself here. He's not like absolutely terrible, and he's funny in this movie. I don't care. The part where he's in the fridge makes me laugh every single time, because he's like, he's talking to the guy, and in the middle he's just talking with him. He's like, "Go call the bridge, tell him what's up." He's like, "Take my pies out of the oven."
Like, yeah, talking about the pies.
And then they like, they keep talking, whatever. He's like, "Hey, it's smoking out here." He's like, "Take my pies out of the oven." It was hilarious. I just think it's so funny. I gave him a 4. I agree with what you guys said. I wish there was a little more to him other than he used to be a Navy SEAL and now he's a cook. He's gonna get us out of here. It's very simple. It is very simple. I don't disagree with any of your guys' points, but for me, it was only worth a 4. But I think Steven Seagal is really good in this movie. You're right, Alex. Well, I'll save it for the action.
You know what's crazy though? This character reminded me a little bit of Sudden Death, Van Damme's character. But the only difference with Sudden Death is that we got a lot of backstory in the beginning that he was divorced and then we got kids.
So like they fleshed him out a little bit more.
Yeah, but this one, they're kind of similar in terms of characters. Because I was just like, wow, this is kind of like...
Yeah, and if you notice, all these movies are similar with Die Hard. It's like one guy, army of bad guys, trying to stop him. And I'm fine with it. Don't get me wrong. I like all of you. Yeah. I like them all. But you're right. Yeah, right. Similar. I just wish they did those. If they did those extra little things, was he ever married? Is there someone he's trying to, like, you know, yeah, get back to, protect, whatever. I do like, too, though, like when he's talking with the military guys on the phone. Yes, sir. He's not like an idiot or an annoying. He doesn't really have any annoying traits where it's like, this guy. I did like him a lot. I gave him a 4. You guys gave him 5s. Perfectly fine with it. Now, this is the part I'm really interested for. We got villain. Now, there's a main villain and there's like a sub-villain. Our sub-villain is Gary Busey, okay? Yeah. Who plays Peter Krill. But then we got William Strannix, played by the great Tommy Lee Jones. Alex, what did you think of the villains?
It's a 5. I'm going to say why. This is why. Yeah. One, they had a plan to take over the damn ship, and they did. Two, I'll start with Gary Busey. Gary Busey is an excellent actor. Now he's crazy. Yeah, but true. Back then, yeah. Back then, I thought he was a great bad guy. Like, if you really look at 90s, 80s bad guy, Gary Busey has to be top 5, right? He was in Lethal Weapon as the bad guy in the first one. You know, he was in this one. He was in, he was in Predator 2. He's not the bad guy, but he was a dick. Like, so he knows how to play those dick characters. And this character is no similar. I was just like, wow. I was like, he's really good at, and I hated him. I was like, man, you're a dick. Like, when he came back, he was like, didn't we tell you to clear the brig and go, and he spit his soup?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, that's so
and then he started punching all of them in the face and everything. Yeah. I was like, oh, man. So I liked him for that. And he did pretty good. Like, he was like, oh, I'm the captain of the ship. I'm the captain of the submarine. So I thought that was pretty cool. Now, Tommy Lee Jones. I don't know what to tell you, brother, but this dude looked like he was playing Two-Face, because I loved it. He was the band guy. He's rocking out. He's like, yeah.
He's like a party. He's doing a party. Got tie-dye shirt on.
Yeah. He's like, man, this is rock and roll, baby. He's like, we're on stage. And I was like, damn. I'm like, this dude is really good. And when he turns into a villain, he turns into a villain. And I thought he worked out very well. I mean, I'm going to let Rob go, but worked out very well. And I think him and Gary Busey did a great job together. And you could tell a little bit that he did not like working with Steven Seagal. I don't know about you, but it looked like he did not look like he liked working with him. But I love when he was cutting the meat. He's like, can someone give me some food? And he's cutting the meat.
He throws it at the guy. He's like,
ah. Yeah, he grabs it. I was like, what the fuck? I was like, damn. I was like, you really that hungry?
Yeah, who eats like that? I said the same thing. I was like, who the hell eats like this?
He's just that's savage. Brute. Look, and then he dies in 2 seconds.
That guy. Prime rib. Here, have some prime rib. Throws it at him. Very good. Holy okay, shit. So 5 for the villains. Rob, what do you got?
Oh yeah, this is a 5+ on here. You got, I mean, what's not to love? Gary Busey in a dress. I mean, that's crazy.
That's crazy. Oh, yeah. Going like this.
And lips. Oh man, and Tommy Lee Jones, man, he played it up to the hilt on this one. You know, and you get the backstory a little bit in the middle of the movie, like how he was an assassin and he just went rogue, and you know, you get that. And like, he just like out of the '60s and, you know, talking about that, the revolution and all that craziness. And, he played it really well. And, I love that. And also, Gary Busey and them too. Perfect. 5. Nice.
All right. This time I'm agree with you, my brothers, because I gave the villains a 5. Tommy Lee Jones alone, if Gary Busey wasn't in this, I'd still give him a 5. But Busey, I agree, right. Alex, he's also really good. He's such a jerk. I hate him more than I hate Tommy Lee Jones, because Tommy Lee Jones has so much charisma in this movie that I'm like, I like this guy. He's crazy. He's bad, but I like him. Gary Busey, he's crazy, he's bad, and I hate him. So I feel like it was good to have the both, but Tommy Lee Jones got the memo. He knew exactly what movie he was in. He was like, I'm going to go full force, early 90s. You're right. This is the better version of Two-Face from Batman and Robin. Batman Forever. I'm sorry, Batman Forever. If he played that exactly like this, I think I would have liked him a little bit better. He's not corny to me in this movie. He's crazy, but he's not corny. Yeah. You know what I mean? His plan, you're right. They had a plan. He's a mad because he was a CIA guy and they tried to assassinate him. They failed. He's like, oh, you're going to kill me? So now he's like, he's stealing these missiles. He's putting them on a submarine that he stole from North Korea. Like, this guy had a whole plan. I loved it. I thought it was great. And then Gary Busey, he's just a wiener, but you're right. I agree, Alex. He plays a really good villain, especially at the time. And you know what? Just late 80s, early 90s. I think he was good in like Point Break. He's a good guy, but I liked him in that too. He was good at that time before he went like turned into Looney Tunes. But Tommy Lee Jones, you should expect nothing. He's a great actor. Even though people think of him now as the old guy who's just always old, back then he really was the fugitive. Like he's the man. I love Tommy Lee Jones. So
remember the scene that the guy goes, "Oh, all the missiles are ready, locked and loaded." And he was like, "All right," and he put in the thing, and he was like, "This little piggy went to the market."
Oh yeah,
And he said, "We went home."
The only bad thing about him is that he gets beat really fast at the end by Steven Seagal's character. Like they do this, Steven Seagal cuts him up with the knife. He cuts him on the wrist. He cuts him on the pulls his eye out with his finger, stabs him in the head, and throws. Like if that fight was more, and maybe that was Steven Seagal being like, "I can't lose a fight. I can't even be touched in a fight." Maybe it was in his ego. And maybe that's why Tommy Jones was like, "This is stupid. Like, I just going to get killed like nothing." I still give him a 5, but that was the only thing I was like.
The only defense that I have, because I do agree with you, that fight was stupid. I will only say is that he is a Navy SEAL trained. And while he's the other one was CIA, I think he's better hand to hand.
That's fair.
You know what I mean?
Like, he's more equipped. He should have won. But I mean, the guy, Tommy Lee, didn't even get a hit in. Like, Steven Seagal didn't even get hit. He literally.
No, you're right. No. Yeah, I agree with you. You're right.
Yeah.
It should have been a little bit of lopsided fight. Like, he should have got some licks in and then die.
Yeah.
But in terms of CIA,
in the sense of the training, he's like way more trained. Also, I like when they blow up that helicopter or airplane full of Navy SEALs that are trying to come on the boat.
Oh, that was so messed up.
Oh, yeah.
Shot him.
Remember when
sky.
He saw the first bad guy?
Yeah.
Right? And he pulled the knife out. He goes, "You think he's like, a cook will kill you with this?" Just had the knife and he threw it.
He's like, "You were supposed to do background checks on everybody." "I didn't have access to the files." This movie's just is a classic. This is a 90s movie. This is what this is what I live for, baby. All right, let's get to my favorite part. The part that everyone loves. Action. Rob, what'd you think?
This was an easy 5+ on action for me.
Ooh, 5+.
You have everything in here. You have hand to hand, knife throwing. You know, so this is, I think, Seagal at his best here, you know, as far as, you know, action, the hand-to-hand, I also like the traps he was setting with the microwave and all that.
Yeah.
And he doesn't rely on guns either, you know, knives or hand-to-hand. And yeah, the ending was kind of a little one-sided between him and Tommy Lee. I agree with that. But it's just so fun to watch, and your time just goes by, an hour 40 minutes. So I give it a 5.
All right, Alex.
I agree with Rob. I'm giving this a 5. I think the action is really good in this movie. I thought it was going to be so corny action, but we didn't get corny action. When he fought those guys, I thought it was pretty cool. The gun firing was actually pretty cool. Even when he was in the side of the submarine, the guy threw the hook and it pulled on his back. I said, "Oh, that must have hurt," when he yanked it out. You saw him hurt for the first time. I thought that was cool. The fight sequences at the end was kind of whack, but I thought it did it justice for whatever it was for the movie. I love he looked to the old guy to shoot the I don't know what they call them, but the big barrel thing with the powder.
Oh yeah, starburst. I think they're called like something like that.
Artillery shell or something like that.
Yeah, the artillery shell. Yeah, then he shot the submarine. I love my good explosion. That was a really good one.
Yeah.
They killed Gary Busey. So I thought throughout the movie it wasn't as much action that you think, like a pure action movie. But I think this had enough, because I think this one had more story. There's a more story driven with them trying to steal the boat and then how the plan will unfold. And then, of course, Casey Ryback is going to unfoil everything. But I think the way they did it was cool. I love the way they were cutting pieces so they could drag all the missiles out into the sub. I thought that shit was all clever. And I was like, this is actually pretty cool, like ideas and everything. So not memorable action where I go, "Oh, this is like the best part of the movie." Like I say, this is it. But I thought it was enough for me to go, this is actually a solid movie. So I gave it a 5. I thought it was great.
Yeah. And perfect. By the way, of course, my brother watched some of the scenes in this. He's never seen this movie. He's never even heard of this movie. Yeah, he's younger than me. He's like, "What the heck what are you watching?" And so he's watching some of it. And we're talking about Steven Seagal. I was like, "Yeah, he was Hapkido." That was the martial arts that he did. Hapkido. Right. And then my brother's like, "What the heck? That's fake." And I was like, no, it's a real martial art. He's like, "Yeah, but it's crap." I said, "Maybe. I don't know anything about it." So he Googles it. He said, this guy wrote on Reddit, "I learned more doing Brazilian Brazilian jiu-jitsu for 3 months than I did doing Hapkido for 20. which, by the way, Hapkido is a, it says here, it's a fighting technique that utilizes jumping kicks and percussive hand strikes. Now, yeah, that's true, that's because there's a part in this movie, it made me laugh, when Steven Seagal, he flips this guy over and karate chops him in the neck. I was like, really? He just went, karate chop. Yeah, I don't like this style. I always make fun of Steven Seagal because of his, you know, it's like they grab pressure points, bend your hand. And if you watch it, he does that in this movie. Bend your hand, you know, hit you on a pressure point, do whatever. However, I give this a 5. I'm with you guys. The action overall is great. And while I agree, like, it's not like nonstop, but what they do, and I love when movies do this, this was more common in the 90s action movies than now, but they almost use the pacing as action as well. Like, it's fat. Like, the movie's just like, it's constantly going. You're never really stopping. So even when someone's not like shooting or punching, they're moving. They're like, everyone's doing something at all times. No one's ever just standing in a room talking, except when they cut to the government guys. Even him, like, okay, he's not fighting, but guess what? He's like climbing into the water, going on the submarine, putting a bomb in the thing, climbing on the other thing. So it's like nonstop once the movie gets rolling. And to me, that almost like qualifies as action, in my opinion. But the greatest scene in this movie is when my man has the double Uzis and he's running down the hallway and he's literally shooting sideways. Oh, yeah. I'm like, I love this. This is the best. The two guys are in two different rooms, like, brr, 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 brr. I'm like, oh, Steven, don't karate chop anybody. Just get some Uzis. run down the hallway. Yeah, I love it. Yeah, it was awesome. So I gave it a 5 as well. And there's explosions, there's missiles, there's guns, there's knives.
Right.
There's that one part where he cuts that beam and it literally goes through the guy through the floor.
Oh,
awesome. Yeah. Great action. Great 90s action. 5 out of 5. All right, storyline, Alex.
Okay, so I was very torn with this because I was with the 4 or the 5. Mm. Then I was like, I got to really think about it. One, did the movie make sense from beginning to end? I think it did. Did it have great pacing from beginning to end? I think it did. Did the action felt like it was thrown in just to throw in? Nope. It felt like an action movie. Did the writing, did you understand the villain's point of view of why did he did what he do? Yes, I did. I was like, I totally understand. They tried to assassinate his ass. And he said, you know what? I'm going to get back to you guys. I gave it a 5. I think in terms of an overall film, and I'm not even talking about it because an action movie and whatever, in terms of storyline, this actually made sense. Them taking over the entire ship. Sometimes we see a movie when they take over a public place or something that is like, yeah, right. They took over Fort Knox, like that easy. Yeah. No, they actually literally had a plan. They came in, they were rocking out, and Tommy Lee said the line, who is the highest officer here on this boat? And the guy said, I am. He shot him dead in the head.
Yep.
And everyone had Uzi. I said, you know what? I liked it. It was very thought out. And even Gary Busey churning on his own people, he's like, I don't give a fuck because they hated me anyway. And he wanted to drown him. So I said, you know what? This is actually pretty cool. So for me, I think everything felt natural. It felt like an actual cool story. And I thought it wasn't corny and it wasn't cheesy. And I gave it a 5. So that's my 5 assessment.
From Alex. Rob, what do you got?
Yeah, I was kind of torn too. I ended up giving it a 4. And, you know, it checks all the boxes, like you were saying, Alex. And it makes sense, the motivations between why they take over the ship. You know, we've seen time and time again these kind of movies where, you know, villains deranged, but he has a purpose and why. And all, I also like the rail system design that they're trying to offload the warheads. You know, everything had a purpose, you know, they needed the sub to transport them and all that. And yeah, it just, everything just checked the boxes and, you know, made sense. So.
All right. 4 for you. Yeah, I agree with both of you. I landed on a 4 as well because there's one thing that I don't like in this movie. Well, 2 things I don't like in this movie, story-wise. One, I do think some of the, like, okay, for example, the Tommy Lee Jones character, you know, they're talking in the room and they're kind of explaining what happened with him. But I think it's a little muddled at times. Like, you really got to, like, pay attention. Like, wait a second. Like, who was he specifically? What is he really doing? They're like, we tried to assassinate him. But they don't really say why. Like, there's certain things like that that I was like, a little bit more detail. That's script writing. And number 2, though, the thing that bothers me the most rewatching it is the whole thing with Erika Eleniak's character. She's a Playboy model. And she comes in, she jumps out the cake. dances for nobody because she was asleep because she took too many motion sickness pills. She just fell asleep. So then she jumps out the cake. He helps her. She's like, I don't date people. I don't date rockers and I don't kill people. And then literally 15 minutes later, she's like putting on tactical vests and she's running around. And I'm like, okay, like, let's calm down a little bit. If they would have made her a little bit more like how she probably would have been in real life. I like when she's like following him down the hallway and he's like, what are you doing? She's like, yeah. The safest place is behind you. That's, I'm fine with that. But like her becoming like a little military dude, like the guy is in the Navy and he says, how do you work this? Like, you don't know how to work a gun. Please stop.
Yeah. I remember
and
that.
And then she's like, I'm like, okay, she's going to show the military guy how to use a gun. So little things like that is like, this is stupid. But I still gave it a 4. I think I agree with you guys. Everything made sense. This is an action movie writing 101, and it's mostly very successful. So yeah, I agree. 4, 4, 4, 5. All right. Overall, Roberto, what did you give this movie on the whole?
You know, like they advertise it, it's Die Hard on a battleship. So I give it a 4. It's just a good time. You know, it just flows. You know, it's a quick hour and 40, and you know, and we've discussed this before. You don't want the movie to run too long; it'll lose its pacing and all that. It was perfect. The length was perfect. So overall, 4.
Nice, Alex. Great time.
Yep, I'm gonna agree with Robert. I'm gonna give it a 4. I don't think it's a perfect film in terms of like a grand scheme. Like, oh my god. As an action movie, I'm going to give it a 4. I think it's a great movie. And I think that, I mean, we did a lot of movies that I feel like the plot lines is like so overstretched out that you're just like, what? Like, really? Yeah. Like, you really could go into this building and just do all this craziness. And I felt like this one worked very well. And I liked it. I mean, the only nitpick I would say is just, I always hate that. Like, the president is never involved in this thing because the president would just send in actual Navy SEALs in the water. Yeah. They would never come flying if they're shooting missiles. Right. I mean, that's kind of obvious. I mean, but I will say is, other than that nitpicks and stuff, I will say this movie was really fun and I liked it a lot.
Let's make it a trifecta. I gave it a 4 as well. I think this movie's great. I think this is a really, really good example of solid early 90s action film. It's not bogged down. You guys are right. The pacing is good. The runtime is perfect. Hour 40. Get in. Have some fun. There's some fun to be had. There's some laughs. There's a lot of action. Good performances. The lead is okay, but they were smart to surround him with actors who are really good. And that matters in these kind of movies where you have like these action stars who maybe are not the best actor. Let's get a Tommy Lee Jones, who we know is a good actor. Let's get Gary Busey. You know what I mean? So I think they were smart to put other better actors around him. And I think Seagal equips himself well in this role. I really do. I think he was fine performance wise, but I like the character. Again, I like when he has two Uzis. It's my favorite thing. So yeah, this movie was, I like it. I think it's a really good, and you're right, Rob. I think it's kind of weird that they use that as like in, like on the Blu-ray box, it says Die Hard on a Battleship. It's like, yes, it is. And that's what keeps it from being a 5. Like Die Hard's a 5 because it was the first one to do that. These clones, it's hard for me to be like also 5 because they are copying something that is already proven. However, you could still be a really good copy. And I think this is a like Sudden Death. These are really good copies of if you're going to do that. So I gave it a 4 as well. So what's your total points, Robert?
I gave it total score 23.
23. Very good. Alex, what do you got?
24.
24. I got a 22. So we're all pretty high up. This is the... Hey, Under Siege, baby. Under Siege. Now, I don't know. I don't know where this month is going to go, but let me tell you what we got coming up. We got next week with Robert. Again, we're going to have Star Wars Episode 2, Attack of the Clones. And then we begin our little run of 3-word Steven Seagal movie titles. He has a bunch, by the way, like 10 of his movies have 3-word titles. And the first one we're going to be doing is Out for Justice. So I'm going to do a little Out for Justice. I've never seen it. This was also, is this the one? I think this one was directed by Andrew Davis as well. So
I've never seen this one.
I've never seen
Out for Justice.
Yeah.
I think it's another director.
Out
for Justice. Yeah.
Okay. You might be right. Yeah. I don't remember. I know he did another one that
he did Above the Law.
Above the law. Okay. There you go. Above the Law. But we got that one later. Don't worry about it. So yeah, we're going to do some Out for Justice. I've never seen it. Literally to this day, the only Steven Seagal movies I've seen like that he's in is Under Siege, Executive Decision.
Yep.
Machete. I've seen that. And The Glimmer Man. I saw that one. I remember that. That's it. Wait, was he in Exit Wounds with DMX?
He was in Exit Wounds.
Okay, I've seen Exit Wounds too. I've seen Exit Wounds. Okay, but I've never seen any of these like late 80s, early 90s ones. Don't, not that familiar. So this is going to be fun for us to go through and check out.
All right, there you have it, guys. Robert, thank you so much for sitting down in these two episodes, man.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for having me again. It's a lot of fun. Thank you.
Yeah, can't wait for next week. It's going to be actually really fun.
Can't wait. Can't.
Yeah, I never seen Alfred Justice. So it's going to be really fun.
Oh, Lord.
It's
gonna- I'm scared.
Yeah, it's going to be really fun. All right, guys, if you guys want to follow us on our social media accounts, please follow Nate over on Instagram at Nateflix Reviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called Nateflix Movie Reviews. Every other Monday at 9 p.m. Eastern, Nate goes live on his Instagram account, Nateflix Reviews, with his old podcast mates. Anything AMG podcast, you guys can follow us on Instagram at Geeks and Flicks. Of course, Action Movie Guys have a YouTube channel, Strictly Action Movie Guys. All our podcasts gets uploaded there. You guys can listen from the actual website, subscribe, leave comments. And then, of course, you can listen to it on YouTube Music if you want to, or Apple Music, Spotify, anywhere you listen to your podcast on. Other than that, he is your host,
Nate from Nateflix Reviews.
I'm his co-host, Adam Figueroa, and that's our special guest, Robert. Till then, be awesome to each other and geek out.